The dictionary defines kindness as being warm-hearted, considerate, humane, compassionate, and forgiving. How would you define kindness? When you show kindness, do you show those particular qualities in relation to even showing who Jesus is, really, what the idea of kindness reflects in who we are as God's children? The Bible tells us, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." So when you think about the idea of kindness, you cannot think about kindness without the aspect of what love is. Because even Paul, as he's writing to the church in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, he said that love is kind. You recall in John chapter 18, the occasion when Peter draws his sword to protect Christ, and he cuts off the ear of Malchus, the servant of the high priest, because they were about to bring Christ before the high court to condemn him of blasphemy and an insurrection and a bunch of other illegal crimes that Jesus had not committed. But do you remember what Jesus did? I mean, at first we would want to commend Peter, right? He was standing up for his Savior. He was wanting to make sure that nobody was going to drag him away illegally. So Peter pulls his sword and cuts off the ear of Malchus. But with that, Jesus says that's not the way that we do things. Amazingly, rather than commending Peter's courage, which we would have done, Jesus corrected his conduct in John chapter 18 and verse 11. And he says, "Peter, put your sword away." And although Jesus, through Paul, would later describe his followers as soldiers and commanded them to fight, he commands them to fight by the sword of the Spirit. That is, using the Word of God rather than to use what we would say is physical violence or retaliation or getting even because somebody acts unkindly towards us as God's children. And even when you look at what was read for us just a few moments ago in 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 21, the idea of servants and their masters, Peter said, look, we are called because Christ suffered for us. We too are going to suffer because we are followers of Christ. But with that, understand this. Jesus never retaliated. In him was found no guile, neither did he retaliate against those who lashed out against him because he suffered for all of mankind. Yet that's not the way that Jesus presented himself towards people. Though he had every right to, certainly because he was the Son of God and he was one that was going to suffer. So when you think about the idea of kindness and the picture that's being painted for us, as you get into the book of Acts, as you're looking at the really all of the things that the disciples are going to do in relation to showing who Christ is, all of those things are done through the act of kindness. So I'm saying all of that to say this as we look at the idea of conquering love and kindness, is I'm calling for us to use March as the month of kindness. You see, it's something that we should all do anyway, right? I mean, that should be in our nature as God's children. They see the love of Christ through us by our acts of kindness. So if you were in a SEAL team, you were given a stack of cards. And it's not just that I want you to be kind because I don't think you're kind. What I want you to do is show the world's kindness through what Jesus Christ did, that we can use that as an evangelism tool. You see, many times we go throughout our day and we don't even recognize those individuals that are around us. So if you're in a SEAL team, you got a stack of cards like this. If you're not in a SEAL team, it does not get you out of being kind this month. Because on the table out there is a basket full of these cards. So as we talk about kindness today and the courage of kindness and what it means to respond in kind as disciples of Christ, our challenge this month is going to be in simply to do one act of kindness a day for a complete stranger, someone you don't even know. I tried to do an act of kindness today because if you know me, I love coffee. So on the way here, I went through Starbucks and not a single person drove up behind me so I could buy them a cup of coffee. That never, ever happens. But a simple act of kindness, whether it's buying somebody a bag of groceries, or reaching out to somebody that's standing on the side of the road that looks tattered and beaten down by life, who has nothing but he's simply asking for a few dollars of a handout that you might be kind to him, simply give them a card, and all it says is, "We hope this small act of kindness shows you God's love in a practical way." And on the bottom, it simply says, "The Cary Church of Christ." Nothing more. So our challenge this month is one act of kindness through the month of March. And I know maybe perhaps you're starting late if you haven't received your cards yet, that you can carry it through the beginning of April. And what it means to show the true love of Christ is through acts of kindness, but also that we show people Christ and who we are. The Bible tells us to let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father that is in heaven. So this month, that's exactly what we want to do. Though it doesn't stop, and I'm not telling you the only time you can be nice to each other is in March. It's something that should carry over in every area of our lives as God's children, and that is to be kind. In large part, when you think about the disciples in Acts chapter 2 and how they found favor in all of the people was because of their acts of kindness, not only towards each other, but towards everybody else. And how they responded to the evil that was done to them many times, as you look throughout the writings of the New Testament, they responded in kind, not by what? Not by acts of evil, but by acts of kindness. That charity suffers long, that is, it's patient, but that it suffers because it's kind. So when you think about doing acts of kindness, I want you to think outside the box. And guess what? This doesn't mean that you can take out the brother next to you and pay for his meal and give him a kindness card. This means you have to choose somebody who you don't even know to show them who the love of Christ is and why we are Christians. The common people, though, when you think about it in the book of Acts, they weren't blinded by pride and power. They took notice of the love that they had for each other and the kindness that they showed towards each other. It became a badge of discipleship for them. On the occasion, Jesus told them in John chapter 13, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another, and by all of this shall all men know that you are my disciples." You mean to tell me that people and how they see us act and respond to the world around us, even though the world really doesn't think much of Christianity at this present time and place in the world that we're living in, even the way that the world responds to us and how we preach and teach the gospel of Jesus Christ, you mean that they're supposed to see God's love and Jesus in me? Absolutely. Paul commanded this to the church at Philippi, didn't he? In Philippians 2 and verse 5, "To let this mind be in you that is also in Christ Jesus, to think and act like Jesus Christ does." So with that, sometimes we have to show the love of Christ by the way that we act towards the world. And I know that's not always easy, because the world certainly doesn't care for us many times. And although this passage mentions love rather than kindness, kindness is again a part of love. So if you look at the book of Acts, we see the loving kindness of early Christians in two main things that they did. The first thing was the way that they shared what they had. The early Christians demonstrated their kindness by sharing things with each other. Let me explain to you, sharing and giving isn't about what you don't have, because many people will say, and they'll use that as an excuse, "Well, I don't really have a lot to give, Larry. I don't have a lot to contribute to society. I don't have a lot to give to contribute to the Lord's church." Brethren, it's not about what you don't have, it's about what you're willing to give up and what you do have for God and His church. So if we're willing to give to those that are without, in relation to showing what kindness is by the love of Jesus Christ, we're willing to sacrifice, because that's exactly what the church in the first century did. They sacrificed for each other. Luke records in Acts chapter 2, verses 40 through 45, "And all that believed were together and had all things in common, and they sold their possessions and good and parted them to all men and every man that had need." So it says the early church was willing to sell everything that they had to give to those that were without. Everybody that had a need, they were willing to give up, maybe perhaps even the smallest of possessions. Now you have to understand, the first century church didn't have possessions like we have today. They didn't have houses and cars and businesses and jobs in relation to how they showed their kindness. A lot of times it was small things, pots and food and clothing and different things of that aspect that they were willing to sell and give up completely to show what an act of kindness was. One of my instructors when I was in preaching school said he learned a hard way about how his wife taught him a lesson on the act of kindness. Because he was preaching one time on the same aspect, that we've got to be willing to give up that which we have perhaps too much of to give to somebody who doesn't have enough of. So he said there was a young family in the congregation that didn't have a car, and this young man needed a car because he had a job interview. So as he came home one day, he saw that the car was gone. And he walked in and he asked his wife, he said, "Where's the car?" She said, "I gave it to that young couple." He said, "You did what?" She goes, "Aren't we supposed to be kind?" He He said, I guess I learned a hard lesson. You see, we've got to be willing to sacrifice, because the church that we read about in Acts chapter 2 was willing to sacrifice of perhaps even what they didn't have. They were willing to give of themselves. And we simply cannot be like God or fulfill the commands of God without doing our best to help those that are in need. Think about what John writes in 1 John chapter 3 in verses 17 and 18. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. The Bible tells us we're set apart, we're sanctified by what it tells us concerning the truth and how we're supposed to be different. The Bible says in ecclesia, the idea of being called out of the world and being different than everybody else. So that means we're willing to show differently what the world does in respect of giving. It's a hard thing to give away that which you don't have, isn't it? It's a hard thing to give up things that we love, our possessions and our time. But later these brethren themselves were in great need, and some of the brethren showed kindness. In Acts chapter 11, verses 27 through 30, it said, Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. Giving is acceptable as a reason or as a person has, not as a person has not. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 12. Notice that the saints in Antioch sent the relief of what they had in need in Jerusalem. They saw a need for the brethren there, and they were willing to give everything they had that their brethren might have that which they didn't. The same idea for us in showing kindness and being kind towards those first starts in the household of faith, doesn't it? Are we willing to give of our means to those that have not? And many times we don't know what people don't have because we don't ask. And we're going to talk about that in a little bit on the ideas of what it means to give. But not only were they willing to give that which they didn't have, they were willing to suffer in relation to what they were going to give. Although the Christians were verbally threatened, they were falsely accused, beaten in prison and killed, they answered that act of hatred and evil with love and kindness. Think about that for a moment. If somebody does you wrong, your first instinct is to do what? Smile at them and tell them you love them? Probably not. It's to retaliate evil with evil, right? But what the first century Christians did in relation to this, to showing the love of Christ and what he did, even the examples that he left for us, as we read here in 1 Peter chapter 2, Jesus was an example for all of those that followed after him, so much so when you think about Stephen as he's being beaten, as the high court is gnashing their teeth at him because they hate him so much, what does Stephen say? Father, lay not this sin to their charge, for they know not what they do. Who did he get that example from? Jesus Christ, who on the cross of Calvary said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So Jesus, being the example that he is to us of showing the act of kindness, that he wasn't willing to retaliate for all those that were retaliating against him and treating him evil, Jesus was showing this to his disciples. And this is what they were showing in the first century. Jesus said, you've heard that it's been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them despitefully that use you and persecute you. Wait a second. God, you're telling me that you want me to pray for those individuals who don't like me, who mistreat me, persecute me, and hate me. That's exactly what I want you to do. You know, I was told that you catch a lot more flies with honey than you do vinegar. Considering what the act of kindness is, of showing what kindness is, meaning it's not the idea of retaliation, but rather showing kindness towards the one who doesn't like you very much. Not only did Stephen do this as Jesus taught, but again, Jesus did exactly the same thing because Jesus was following the example. In the very next chapter, Peter drove this point home in 1 Peter chapter 3 in verses 8 through 11. Peter writes, finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion one for another, love as brothers, be tenderhearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. For he who would love and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good, and let him seek peace and pursue it. Then you look at verses 16 and 17. having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ, let them be ashamed. For it is better, if it is the will of God, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. So here Peter's giving a commandment to the church, the early church, saying, look, there's people who aren't going to like you very much. But Jesus said in the book of Hebrews, when you read in Hebrews chapter 10, God is talking about the idea of paying it forward to those who are mistreating His own children. He said, vengeance belongs unto me. I will recompense, says the Lord. God says, that's my job. Because we can't exactly show the love of Christ if we retaliate towards those who mistreat us. Can you imagine somebody that's browbeating you and tongue-lashing you, perhaps in a supermarket or somewhere out there, and you do exactly the same thing and say, oh, by the way, want to come to church with me on Sunday? Probably wouldn't get you very far. We are to remain kind when we suffer like them. We've got to return good for evil and overcome evil with good. So let's talk for just a few moments before we wrap this up this morning, the elements of kindness. Okay, Larry, I understand that they were kind in the first century church, but how do I then display that in my life in relation to how I'm going to treat everybody else around me? First and foremost, the first thing is we have to be sensitive. Now, I know that's a word we don't like today, right? Sensitive. We think about political correctness when we think about the idea of sensitivity, right? We're afraid to hurt anybody's feelings because we might say the wrong thing or think the wrong thing. Well, people who are practicing kindness are simply aware of the needs around of those that are around him. That's all I'm saying when it means to be sensitive. Paying attention to the needs of those that are standing around you, perhaps that nobody else is. Philippians 2:4 says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. In my Bible, it's underlined, look not on your own things. So being sensitive towards those concerning acts of kindness means I'm not selfish because I'm thinking about other people before I'm thinking about myself. Kindness starts with getting my mind off of myself and getting it on those that need the act of kindness. Number two, sympathy. I know that we often feel unqualified to help people who are hurting and that such situations may seem awkward to us, but they probably seem awkward at times to most people. Yet what kindness can display, not simply verbally, but by action, in a touch and patting somebody on the back or simply grasping their hands and telling them that you love them. Brethren, that's an act of kindness. That's simply showing compassion like Paul talks about in Galatians chapter 6. Paul said that one of the qualities that someone who is the Lord's servant is that they are kind or gentle to all, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 24. That's a tall order for us. What this means is that people who are spiritual take time for those who are hurting and struggling. Kindness. Number three, being straightforward. Sometimes kindness realizes that there is a need to be frank and to be straightforward with somebody when it comes to the truth. Speaking the truth in love. Sometimes being kind is telling a brother that they're in error. Why? Because you care for their soul. Being straightforward then. Paul told the Galatians, so have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Paul said, do you hate me so much because I'm trying to save your souls that now you don't like me because I'm teaching you the truth of the gospel? Sometimes we have to be straightforward in our approach concerning our kindness because we love the person. It's not about being mean-spirited or simply calling out their sin that we might show their shortcomings. It's because we're genuinely concerned for their soul. And brethren, guess what? It doesn't mean always calling them out publicly either. It means pulling them aside and saying, brother, I love you, but this is messing you up right now. That's being kind. That's showing sympathy. It's showing sensitivity, but it's being straightforward. Being straightforward does not mean offering a hit-and-run type of comment either. It means pulling the person aside, telling them what the shortcoming is, and then sticking around to help them through it. That's what kindness means. We're quick to say, brother, you messed up. Now you better go fix it. Instead of pulling that mote out of our own eye, right? And going to help the brother and telling them why they're wrong, and then saying, now I'm going to stick around and show you kindness and love and patience and charity because it suffers long and it's patience, and I'm going to be here with you every step of the way. But also it means, and that's where I want us to focus on this month, is to be spontaneous. I'm not telling you to go home tonight and make out your list of every act of kindness that you're going to do every day. And that's not bad if you do that. But what I'm saying is, Let there be a moment in your day that you see somebody who's hurting and suffering, who doesn't know who Jesus is, who's never experienced the love of Christ, and brethren, show them who Jesus is. Let that be your moment to let your shine before that person, that they may see your good works, but that you get to glorify your Father in heaven. Amen? Because that's what the world needs more than anything today, brethren. Kindness. Kindness and love, and it's such a simple concept, but it's so hard for the world to understand sometimes. Don't put off the opportunity to say something kind, write a kind note, express kindness. A common enemy of kindness, brethren, is busyness. We get too busy. We get too busy just to be nice. No excuse. The past makes it difficult to be kind. I've been treated really bad, Larry. You don't understand what I've been through. So take that and let it fuel you to be kind for someone so they don't have to go through what you went through. It's not an excuse. Jesus could have used every excuse in the book on the cross of Calvary, yet that's not what he did. I don't believe that any excuse is going to fly with God. Think about Joseph in Genesis chapter 50. He had every excuse to beat his brothers into submission. They took this young man, threw him in a pit, and left him for dead and lied to his father about it. Jesus rode to the epitome of what it means to be the most high in the nation of Israel, yet when he came across his brothers who didn't even know who he was, he said, you know what? God meant it for good. Joseph didn't retaliate. Rather, he showed them the kindness of God and the way that he treated his brothers. He had every right to be mad, separated from his family for all of this time, but it wasn't an excuse. Simply put, for us to be kind, Genesis 39:21 is to be like God. Again, Philippians 2:25, to have the mind of Christ. There's a quote I read somewhere one time, and I don't remember who wrote it. Certainly not original with me, but the quote said, three things in human life, in a human's life, are important. The first is to be kind. The second is to be kind. And the third is to be kind. Three things that are important. Certainly we understand Christ is the most important thing in our lives, but kindness comes with being a disciple. By this will all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. First, we love each other. We show kindness through our acts and how we treat each other in the Lord's church, and then we take that outside the walls of the body of Christ and we show the world who we are as a body of Christ. Brethren, that's what it means to be kind. Love suffers long and is kind. Even when you've been mistreated, show them who Jesus is. Because Jesus was mistreated too, yet he didn't want to retaliate against the world that way. Even as he was dying and suffering on the cross of Calvary, he didn't retaliate towards them. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I know sometimes we struggle with the idea of kindness in the world that we live today. So my challenge to us this month, and hopefully from this point forward, if it hasn't been your lifestyle, or maybe you're frustrated, whatever the case is, 31 simple little cards. 31 simple little cards to show people who Jesus is. You don't have to say anything. You don't have to invite them to church. You don't have to quote a Bible verse to them. Simply give them this card. And maybe even tell them along the way that you love them too. And it's amazing how people respond to kindness. I think I told you this story, and I'm going to close with it because it's pretty pointed. And I think I told this story when we were doing our One Word series last year on kindness. I'd gone to Russia with a friend of mine. We were doing mission work over there for several weeks teaching in the Bible college. And we had to take a bunch of tracts with us over there. So when we got to St. Petersburg, before we switched to our domestic flight, we had to check our bags again, and our bags were very heavy because we had all of these Search for Truth DVDs that had been converted into Russian, and we had Bibles. So we knew we were going to pay a pretty large fare for these bags. So my friend, who I love dearly, Nathan, walks up to the counter, and this lady, the first thing he asked her is, "Do you speak Russian or do you speak English?" Who she did very eloquently, very well educated. And he began to kind of chastise her just a little bit jokingly, but you can tell she was not into his comedy that day because she had a long line behind her. So he stuck his bag on the thing to be weighed, and it came up over $200 and something dollars. To which Nathan's face drained and turned white. And he looks back at me and he goes, I didn't think it was going to be that much. And I said, well, brother, these bags are pretty heavy. We've got a lot of stuff that we're taking up to Russia or taking up to Murmansk. So he wasn't happy with the fact that he was having to pay over $240-something dollars for this bag. And he was getting irritated with the lady behind the counter. So finally he paid the $200-something dollars. And I, seeing this, walked up and said, boy, I really appreciate your patience with us today. I know you've got a long line here. You've been here probably all morning long. I know you're tired, but I just want to say thank you. She said, will you please put your bag on the scale? Put my bag on the scale, of which my bag was the same size as Nathan's, carrying the same things. She said, that'll be $43. And I turn around and look at Nathan. I said, see, it pays to be nice sometimes. Sometimes you can even make a person's day better by smiling them and showing who Jesus is. And because God is kind and loving to us, He wants you to know what you need to do to be saved. He wants to make sure that you don't go without, that you have all those things that the Bible tells us in 1 Peter that pertain to life and godliness. And that first step is becoming a child of God, becoming a Christian, so you can begin to show that light and to show people who Jesus is. So if you haven't done that today and you need to make that first step in your life, the Bible tells us that not only must we hear the Word, we must believe the Word, we've got to be willing to repent, cast off the cares of our old lives and not doing those things anymore. Be willing to confess and tell the world that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior who died for me, Matthew 10:32, and to put on Jesus Christ in baptism, 1 Peter 3 and verse 21. If you've done all of those things, if you're a Christian who's walking in the light, but maybe somewhere you've been in the shadow of the world and listening to what the devil says, and maybe you've been a little cynical and maybe even sometimes a little mean-spirited, that's okay. Because we've all been there. We all get depressed. We all get hurt. We all get frustrated. But we've got to let our light shine because people need to see Jesus. So if you need the prayers of the church, if you need encouragement, anything that we can do to help you today, please let us show you how much we love you as together we stand and as we sing.